Beautiful piece from Richter Melio, and then continuing Chovas HaLevavos from where we were up to, which is Sha'avas Hashem, Perek Gimel, and it's Omud Resh Ches Tzadi. Tell you what I'm going to do, Edwards. Those who were not here in the afternoon, so I gave, as you mentioned, I devoted to give this Michtav Melio, an amazing piece I found. So I thought maybe just looking at the people around in shul and thinking of who comes to this year, I thought what we do is I'll give this to you now and then move on to the rest of Chovas HaLevavos. I'm
No.
just going to record it. I'm just going to record it with just going to turn on the Kol HaLoshon phone recording. There we go. Okay, so here we are. The perplexing question that we face with the world in the turmoil that it is, hoping to get out a vaccine, yes, no, how, what, this strain, that strain. Sit back and say, well, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What is this all supposed to mean? I mean, let's say that a relatively small nucleus of people who stop and think and are connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and will say to themselves, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from me? But we're talking about maybe what 4,000 million people in the globe, maybe more nowadays. What's the purpose of all of this for them? What is this supposed to? And in thinking to prepare something for the ladies on Tuesday, that's all I can think. It was Siyata Dishmaya. I took to Kollel with me. I took a set of Michtav Melio, saying, when I'm there, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to try. Maybe I'll find something. I picked up the first volume, which was Chelek Aleph. I opened it. Straight away, I found something. But straight away, must be only in the schus of the shir, I found two short chapters he's got here, which seemed extremely relevant. And I'll tell you, here we are. So it's from Michtav Melio, it's Chelek Aleph, page 63. He's got a small chapter on Kashius Oref Urufuasa, stiff-neckedness and its cure. Interesting. So Michtav Melio says the following. He says, what is this concept? We find that Klal Yisrael have been accused is the wrong word, have been diagnosed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being an kashei oref, a stiff-necked nation. So what does that mean? Where did we find this? When it came to the Egel Hazov in Parshas Kisisa, again it's repeated in Parshas Ekev, ki am kashei oref ato. You are a stiff-necked people. We've heard this expression a lot. What does it mean? What is it meant to say to us? What's this diagnosis and what help is it? So Rav Dessler quotes a Sipornu, and the Sipornu says, fascinating. He says the following. He says, Gid Barzel, Orpom Velo Yifnu. They have a steel sinewed neck, which won't move. Fascinating. You know, when someone's got a stiff neck, you know that straight away because you call them somebody and you try and attract their attention and they hard to turn around. They don't turn their neck. They on a good day they go like this. You know straight away somebody's they got a draft behind them or they've slept in a funny position. They can't move their neck, says the Siponu, and the Michtav Melio explains and says the following: somebody who can't turn their neck is an expression for somebody who can see the blatant truth in front of their eyes, but they cannot turn around. They cannot bring themselves to do an about turn in their in on the track that they're taking in life. So the car is, so to speak, cruising along, and they can see in front of them that what they're doing is something, is something terrible. They can see that the path that they've chosen is suicidal. Yet somehow they're too fast asleep. They're too mesmerized. They're too set in their ways to stop, turn around, do a 180 degree turn, about turn, and change direction. Rethink how to live my life. How have I been living my life? It's got to change. That is, somebody who's stiff-necked, unkashiref, lacks the ability to stop, cut their losses, realize that things are going to be rethought, recalculated, and if necessary, a radical decision, a radical change has to be brought about to their lives. Somebody who is unable to do that, they can't move their neck. They can't. They are stiff-necked. That was the complaint against Klal Yisrael with the Chet HaEgel. Says Rav Dessler, he says the following, what could Moshe Rabbeinu do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Achale Oysom Karoga, I'm going to destroy them in a split second. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? How does he save Klal Yisrael? Here's Klal Yisrael done the worst Aveira possible. Chet HaEgel, serving a golden calf at the foot of, if you don't mind, at the foot of Har Sinai, immediately after declaring this heroic and timeless expression, Na'aseh v'nishma, straight away, a golden calf, if you don't mind, Avodah Zarah, at the foot of Har Sinai. What can Moshe Rabbeinu do to prevent the seeming absolutely inevitable Midas Hadin of destruction of Klal Yisrael? So Moshe Rabbeinu takes the Luchos, Vo'ashabrim, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I took them in my hands and I smashed them. Vo'etvois b'shnei haluchos, vo'ashlichem, I threw them me'al shtei odoi, from on my two hands, Vo'ashabrim le'nechem, I smashed them in front of your very eyes. Says Rav Dessler, in order to be able to wake Klal Yisrael up from this crash course, from this suicidal path of Avodah Zarah that they'd chosen, it was necessary to do something drastic, so drastic that they would stop in their tracks, do teshuva, change course. Smash the luchos, ground up the Egel Azov, gave it to drink in water to those who were suspicious or suspect perpetrators, and that type of shock tactics is what stopped us in our tracks, woke us up to do tshuva and to change our ways. Maybe it's analogous, can add, someone driving along a road, cruising along a motorway, and you know that further along the bridge has collapsed and they're going to go 70 miles an hour straight into the Thames. 70 miles an hour straight into a river and drown. And you're calling to them, and you're shouting, and you're waving, and you're flashing lights, and the driver's just happily sailing on. How are you going to save them? All you could do is, if you had a gun, you'd shoot the tires. You'd shoot the tires. Well, that would cause, I mean, incredible damage to the car. But you shoot the tires in a way, you hope, you reckon, you work out this person, his life will be saved. He won't be killed in the crash, and it'll stop him from going off the end into the water. So some type of shock tactics are necessary, says Rav Dessler Zecher Tzadik Livracha, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends something like this to the world, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends something that huge sorrows to the world, it's Midas HaRachamim. It's not Midas Hadin. It's coming along to save the world from crashing into complete, in our case, where the world's going into complete disintegration. A suicide, continuous path, which no one, through all the messages, all the warnings, haven't been heard, haven't been listened to. No one's waking up. This is what it is. He mentions the Holocaust as one of the examples that Klal Yisrael, although everything seemed amazing, yeshivas, etc., in Europe, well, it's well known that reform, haskalah, assimilation, these were absolutely rampant. And even the strongholds, places, whether it was Volozhin, whether it was Vilna, all of these places where you think of as these places which are absolute strongholds of steadfast Torah, were being infiltrated, and reform was getting a hold of these places. And therefore, says Rav Dessler, and Rav Dessler, of course, is speaking very shortly after the Second World War, this was necessary to wake Klal Yisrael up. Absolutely, the damage, the tremendous suffering, the unthinkable loss of lives, it was Midas HaRachamim necessary to stop Klal Yisrael from disappearing altogether, assimilation. As tough as that sounds, that's what it is. Kashyus Oref, stiff-neckedness, not being able to move, not having the ability to stop in one's tracks and realize that things aren't good and things have to change. And the cure, the refuah, is a drastic measure that is there and will stop anybody in their tracks. That's what the Michtav Meliyahu says. Then he goes on, that's just a page and a half, then he goes on page 65, the Michtav Meliyahu, Chochmas Ha'olam. The title of this little essay is Chochmas Ha'olam, the Chochma of the World. And he brings a pasuk, quite a famous pasuk, in Yirmiyah. And the pasuk is, we lane it sometimes in Haftorah, Koyama Hashem. So says Hashem, Al Yishalel Chochom v'chochmasi. The person who is a genius, who's very clever, well endowed with IQ, he shouldn't praise himself with his brilliance. V'al Yishalel Agibo b'gvurasi. Nor should the person who is incredibly strong, incredibly mighty, nor should he praise himself with his might and strength. And Al Yishalel Oshir b'Oshrei. And the last one is the person who's gloriously wealthy. He shouldn't praise himself and get carried away with his wealth. Kiyin Bezois, Yishalel HaMishalel, says Yirmiyah b'Nevuah, he says, so this, only the following, if a person wants to feel that their life, their existence is worthwhile, is something to praise, something to talk about, what should he do? Somebody who wants to praise himself can only praise himself in the following. Haskel, to use his intellect, the odoya, use, he could focus all his efforts, the odoya, we see, to know, get to know me, says Hashem, get to know my ways. Why? Ki ani Hashem, I am Hashem, oise chesed, I do acts of kindness, mishpot, judgment, stokah, righteousness, ba'oretz, not just on Shemayim, ba'oretz I do. Ki be'elech ofatzinu Hashem, these are the three things that interest me. That's what I want, says Yirmiyah Novi, the resources that Kodesh Baruch has given us, be their intellect, be their might, strength, and prowess, or be they wealth, says Yirmiyah Novi, all of these are nothing to write home about. What can a person possibly write home about? Kim bezois his halel hamis alel, he says, Haskel, Vyodoya, we see, as much as a person is able to learn the ways of Hashem and to follow in them. Says Rav Dessler, beautiful piece. He says the following. He says, you have people with their brilliance, they have advanced technology, they have advanced medicine, they have brought advances to the world, and they think that they are the cat's whiskers. They think this is amazing. They are the gift to the world. That those people who have amassed incredible power in terms of armies, in terms of weaponry, in terms of ability to subdue others, says, and they think that they are absolutely in charge. And you've got the third lot of people who are fantastically wealthy, and their wealth absolutely is able to inflict influence right across the world at all levels. And they think that they are the ones who can truly praise themselves, can truly say that they have power everywhere as a result of their wealth. Says the Michtav Melio, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying like this, quite right, that brilliance, atochoini l'odom das, strength, gevura, and ashirus and wealth, they are in themselves something, things that can be put to good use. When are they worthwhile? Only if they're put to the use of Haskel v'yodea oisi. Only if they're put behind the mission, the true mission of our existence, which is to do our level best, to go in Hashem's ways, to behave, emulate Hashem's behavior in our behavior, in the way we lead our lives. If we do that, then the chokhma, then the ashirus, the gevura, and the ashirus, then these three things are truly praiseworthy. If not, says Rav Dessler, avol ba'osa rega, at that minute, at that moment, shehachochom noite miderech zu, that the chochom, with his brilliant IQ, with the genius of a brain that Hashem has given him, at the moment that he turns that away from using it to serve Hashem as best as he can, v'hu mishtalit ala chochma, and he takes over this chochma, v'noisno bidei ritzonoi, he puts it in the hands of his desire. So he uses it to advance his taiva. M'shabdo l'tavosoi, he enrolls it and makes it a slave, to subjugates it to his desire, not to Hashem's will. V'shocheach, he forgets, she'achochma hi elokis, that really, brilliance, good mind, and ability to think and to engineer and to invent is in truth, it's a chokhma, a godly chokhma. At that point, says Rav Dessler, harihu ma'abed es chokhma seiladas, he willfully destroys that chokhma. It becomes destroyed. He thinks that he's siphoned it off, and he is able to use it. Says Rav Dessler, he's gone and destroyed it, because the chokhma is truly only chokhma and is only going to serve him well if it's kept, which is something which is elokis, something which is godly. And that's what he says. It actually turns into something evil and something harmful and something which is going to ruin his life, says Rav Dessler. That's what happens. And the same is true with everything, he says. The same is true with gevura, with might. If he uses gevura in order to, and in fact, Rav Dessler says, the true chokhma, gevura, and ashirus is mentioned clearly in Pirkei Avos. Over there, it's clear over there, explicit. Ezu chokhom, who's the truly clever person? Halomi is mikolodom, who learns something from everybody that they encounter. Who is the truly person who's a true gibbo? Somebody who's not somebody who's able to suppress others and cause them anguish and have them under his thumb for his own selfish purposes. The gibbo is somebody who's able to be kovish his yitzroi. He's able to take himself in hand and be able to control his own desires, to make sure that the only desires that he follows are the desires of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, what is the Oshir, the truly wealthy person, is Someach B'chelkoi. He's happy with what he's got. That's the truly wealthy person. The others, if they use it for other things, destruction. And he quotes a Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Matos. I'm going to read it out. Gimul Matonis Nivru Ba'olam, says the Medrash, three presents were given to the world. Zohar ba'achas mehem, if he merited one of them, not al chemdas kol ha'olam, he's taken the treasure of the entire world. Zohar b'chochma, if he was zohar to be very clever. Zohar b'kol, he's got the potential, he's merited an extreme potential. Zocha b'gvuroz bin zocha to might, the same zocha b'kol. Zocha b'osher, he's merited to be gloriously wealthy. Zocha b'kol, he's got the ability to merit everything. Emosai, when is that true? Says the Medrash, b'zman shehein matnoi shomayim, when they remain a matana from shomayim, from heaven, from Hashem. Uboi mikoyach ha-Torah, and they come from the Torah. I.e., says Rav Dessler, they come from a source of Kedusha. And he's going to use it for Kedusha. He appreciates that that's why he's got it. But if it is purely human brilliance, might, and wealth, Eidoi Klum, says the Medrash, it's nothing. It's absolutely worthless. That's the end of the Medrash. So therefore, says Rav Dessler, we see from Chazal, there's no halfway, there's no middle way. It's either everything or nothing. If one uses those resources, and maybe the entire world resources can be categorized in three things, as intellect, to create technology, medicine, to be able to further mankind in terms of its ability to be able to process and cope and develop the world. And then we've got Gvura might in terms of being able to use it positively, and Ashirus, all the wealth, the elevated standard of living, etc., everything that there is, all of that, those three things, they are futile if they're not used l'man Hashem. And then Rav Dessler goes on and he says the following. He says, what happens is when people usurp any one of these three, and all the more so all of those three resources, he says, hey matzlichim borishono, in the beginning, they are successful. They're able to use their brilliance to advance technology, to advance the world, and everything seems to be going swimmingly their way. Similarly, the might, they seem to be able to have the power, the armies, the weaponry, the clout, etc. It all seems to go their way, even when they're not using it for completely selfish purposes. And similarly with wealth. Uboim liday, but in the end, it leads to kilyon v'avodin, it leads to destruction and total ruins. That's what Rav Dessler writes. Why? Because in the end, it all self-destructs, it implodes, because you've taken something which only has value, it's been given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it only has value in as much as it's used in return for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you usurp it, take it out of context and use it as something else, it becomes toxic. It becomes purely destructive. It becomes dangerous and undealable with. Says Rav Dessler, borrow. I'm reading parts of it which are poignant, but have a look at it yourself by all means. Chelek Aleph and Omud 67, this one is now. Borrow, it's clear. Ki lo rabim haloindim lekach mizeh. People will say, well, what's the world learnt from all of this? Maybe in the beginning we heard President Trump saying, this is, you know, we all need to pray to God. And we heard the President of Italy, Prime Minister of Italy, saying, only God can remove this plague from us. But since then, it's all gone quiet. Says Dessler, don't let that put you off. Borrow, it's clear. Kilo rabim haloindim lekach mizeh. Not many are going to take the lesson from this huge change, this huge shake-up of the world. V'shuv sotim min aderech, they're going to continue when everything quietens down. They will again stray off the correct path, the purpose of their existence. V'shuv bois hatitzois hayiduois, and there's going to be more suffering, he says. That is the way, he says Rav Dessler, that the battle till the end of time of the evil against the good and the good against the evil. That is the way this battle works, or I should say the war. Aval, says Rav Dessler, yesh loimdim mizeh, there are those who do take their lesson and they learn from what's happened. V'shovim midarkon, and they do tshuva. V'nisvasim, as a result, they join lemachne haloichamim, they join the other side. They join the camps of those who are fighting against the evil in the world, leman gilui kvodei sporach, for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor being revealed to the world. Here's Rav Dessler. That's what he's saying. And he goes on to say, basically, this is the way it is. This is the purpose. He was talking about the Tzoros in his day after the Second World War, but he was writing this. This is a rule of thumb. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the world crashing, cascading into free fall, into suicidal mode of behavior, Midas Hadin is just to say, okay, you know, kill yourselves out, destroy your world. That's, you know, that's it. But Midas HaRachamim says, I want to save the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu shakes up the world in a way that life can't continue. Nothing can continue the way it was. Things have to change. Nobody can ignore what's going on. The idea is to wake us all up. Everyone, Yidden, Goyim, it doesn't make a difference who. Says of Dessler, don't be disheartened when you see very few people getting the message, because this is the way Hashem runs the world. Some do, though, and the ones who do change. They do change. They do make an about turn. And they do change their ways and join those who are looking to declare HaKadosh Baruch Hu's supremacy and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's governance in the world and want to publicize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's true glory in the world. But that's the way it is. And therefore, this is what this is undoubtedly. Undoubtedly, what's happening in the world is a wake-up call to the world. Says Rav Dessler, not that many people are going to wake up, but some will. And those who do will have learned the lesson. But that's what's going on. That's why this whole globe, the entire everyone is infected and affected by this in an extreme way. It can't be ignored. The question is, what happens? Do those who have been given the intellect, to the technology, the wealth, the might, are these people going to realize we cannot continue our lives this way? We cannot pretend that we are in charge, we can do what we like. We can't selflessly usurp HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goodness and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gifts in this world. We cannot continue with this type of behavior of destructive relationships in a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given it for the sake of continuing for the world should be populated, that the world should be a place of with stable families, with stable life, with it's obvious, it's a no-brainer, the way what is constructive, what is destructive, what is going to produce a stable society that is sustainable and one that isn't. It's a no-brainer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending this message, and it's loud and clear. It isn't a message against Klal Yisrael in particular. It's a message to the world. But surely, this is the time to ride the wave for us as concerned, and to use what's happening as a chizuk. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one, the only one, who controls our world. Nothing, no technology, no might, no prowess, and no amount of wealth can overcome and can truly take control over this world. It's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they might come with a vaccine. The vaccine might work, and it might work for this strain and for that strain and for the other strain. And maybe it will deal with the coronavirus altogether for the moment. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, the way of the world, says Rav Dessler, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come back for more, for those who haven't taken the lesson. And therefore, This is clearly what's going on over here. The kash yoseref, chas v'shalom, not to be stiff-necked, to be ready to do tshuva, to be ready to reevaluate and to change our lives accordingly, and to take the step up to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Clearly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't come with complaints and expectancies that are above our abilities, but whatever we can manage, whatever something that is in within our reach, this is the call that we are in the middle of experiencing, that is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to use, as the Novi says, Ki im bezois yishalel hamishalel. This is the truly praiseworthy. A person wants to praise their existence. Haskel v'yodea usi, in as much as we've been able to work out, to absorb what it is, the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to emulate them. And in fact, the next pasuk, which I found here in the Novi when I was looking it up, it says, Hine yomim boim ne'um Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, there are days coming, so says Hashem. Ufokati, I'm going to visit. Al kol mul be'arlo, to both those who have been circumcised and those who have not been circumcised. Al Mitzrayim ba'al Yehuda ba'al Edom, whether it's Mitzrayim or Yehuda, Klal Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, ba'al Edom, and Edom, ba'al Bnei Amoin, ba'al Moav, ba'al Kol Kvutzei Peor, Hayoshrim ba'midbo, ki chol ha'goyim arelim, v'chol beis Yisrael arle leiv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to visit everyone, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to send the message right across the world. Who knows? Who knows? But all we do know is this is an opportunity not to be lost, where this, you've got to ride the opportunity, seize the inspiration of the time. That's the message. Come as close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as we can, mend our ways as best as we can, try and set an example just by the way we behave, and make a Kiddush Hashem wherever we are, in all circumstances. Let them see, let the world see, these are the people of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hopefully, there'll be more than we think who will rethink their ways of life, will rethink their usage of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's valuable resources, be they the intellect itself, be they the power that they have of influence, the gevura, albeit wealth, what the world's resources of wealth are used for. Are they used for good things? Are they used for going in the Derech Hashem, or Chas V'Shalom, or are they used to attempt to turn against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's surely Dessler, beautiful, beautiful piece, couldn't be more relevant than today. Just to share that with you, with a few minutes we've got left, just to continue from where we were, until now, last week. So quickly, just to recap, we're up to Omad Reish Ches Tzadi, and the Chovis Halvavos told us that in order to be able to reach the level of Avas Hashem, says the Chovis Halvavos, we'll be able to do it, we need eight, he says, eight building blocks. The eight building blocks are